Okay, let's begin. I want to discuss with you a topic we once spoke about, but I want to revisit this topic, the topic of the Magen David. Now, the reason why I want to discuss this idea with you is because a new book was published by Rabbi Avraham Aryeh Trugman. Does anyone know who he is? Trugman. He wrote a whole number of svarim. I was intrigued by the topic and the Sefer because I was never able to really find much that was satisfying about the Magen David. And he wrote a whole book from a Turdika point of view. Most of the books about the Magen David are very secular, and either they're knocking it from a secular side or from a more ultra-religious side, they're also knocking it that it's been adopted by secular Zionists and it's not a religious symbol. And a lot of the things you see about the Magen David outside are putting it more down than up. I'm being fair.
They're projecting political opinions are onto the symbol.
What do you mean?
Oh, they're saying it's more of a
It's not a criticism of the Magen David, it's a criticism.
No, I'm talking about the Magen David itself. Does the Magen David have any religious significance? Did it come from a holy source? Where does it come from? Today the Magen David by hands down represents the state of Israel.
Right.
For one very simple reason, because that's the flag of the Medinas Yisrael. So this is what the Magen David today means. Now you're dealing with people who are not so happy. Let's say you're dealing with people that are very religious, and they're not very happy with the policies of the state of Israel, and they look at the Magen David and they're very disturbed, and they will refuse to put the Magen David on any religious item, on the Aron Kodesh, on the Talisbig, on their Seder plate. And these are things which traditionally that's the question how far back it goes, were used as religious symbols. Okay, that is an outgrowth of what we have today. Now what's interesting is that even secular historians have looked at the Magen David and have asked, where does this come from? They've done their best to research, and they've told us some very disturbing things I'm going to discuss now, is that this symbol we find was used by Christians, we find was used by Muslims, we find was used by the Chinese, the Japanese, by Buddhists, and by all walks of life. And people who have a secular bend, they tell us that it doesn't appear that it's a religious symbol for the Jewish people, because in ancient times we have evidence that it was used universally as a symbol for all different cultures and religions. And now, for whatever reason, the Jewish people have taken hold of it and used it on their flag. Yeah.
What about the concept of making from coal to coal?
So let me rephrase their question. There are many songs, very traditional marches, that are extremely popular in the Jewish community, that are sung by in most Hasidic, most religious...
Prussian war marches.
And where do they come from? They come from secular sources. So you'll ask...
Aleinu,
really?
Yeah.
Aleinu?
Aleinu is an old Polish drinking song.
Aleinu, which Aleinu? Not the Aleinu from the Yom Narayim. But not from the Yom Narayim. But from the Yom Narayim, that's different. That's a different story. Yeah, okay. Okay, so he's saying even the Aleinu, things that we actually sing in shul, he's saying come from secular sources.
Okay, these tunes, they're all Polish drinking songs.
Okay, so you see from... So what is the answer?
Close the Hasidah.
Yeah.
Right. That's how they used to dress. The goyim used to dress in those times, and they just stuck with it. So that's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you that in the Hanami, they'll tell you this idea. The Hasidim will never apply it to the Magen David, because the Hasidim, they totally reject the Magen David. Not completely, but they're not very pro Magen David. But they will tell you, when it comes to the clothing and when it comes to the Nigunim, is that we have basically injected spirituality in these secular symbols, and now they have been elevated and are
pick and choose
religious. So why don't we say the same thing with the Magen David? Okay, Rav Moshe really says something like this, that the Magen David, the bottom line is, it has become a Jewish symbol, and therefore it today has religious significance. Rav Moshe, pretty much, if you read between the lines of Rav Moshe, I think Rav Moshe really, he says, I don't know where it comes from. We don't really know where it comes from, if it really is a holy source, Alpi Kabbalah, yes or no. But the bottom line is, it's been adapted, and it is holy. It is actually sacred, no less than these nigunim and the clothing and all the significance that they ascribe to these things. Okay, but let's just discuss a few interesting. You know, he has a, this machaber is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. The sefer is incredible. I highly recommend, if you can get your hands on it, you can get it. It's a wonderful sefer, Secrets of the Magen David, Rabbi Avraham Aryeh Trugman. It's unique in that his approach is with. It's all Torah. It's all with Yerushalayim. You see, you get a feeling. It's beautiful. Haskamas from Tamer B'Tamidei Chachamim, and he's very critical of. He has all the facts. He's not at all narrow in only looking at very selective Mamari Chazal. He's very, very broad, and it's the theme that really comes out is Hanach Lahem LiYisrael. In Einam Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im. If this has become our symbol today in modern times, it's not an accident. This Hashgacha Pratis, there are very holy, sacred sources for the Magen David. A lot of it has been forgotten from us, it's been lost. But if we just search a little deeper, we will uncover not that it's not just a secular song that has been injected with spirituality, but it truly has significance, religious significance. But let me just bring out some of the short ideas, at least part of the sefer, of things which have captured my imagination and attention. And the first thing, my first simple thing is Magen David. Is it a shield of David, or is it the star of David? Interesting, he has a discussion that is a very different connotation. What is a mogin? We translate mogin as it literally means a shield. I'm going to show you that it's not the pasuk what a mogin is. We have a little bit of a discussion as some chidushim. But even among the goyim, among us, how do we look at it? We look at it as a star or a shield. A very different connotation. Shield means is protection. Hashem protects us. A star, on the other hand, has a connotation that something that we take pride in. Is it both? We take pride that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. If we are special, we don't need protection. You're special on your own. When you give a child a star, what are you giving a star to a child for? You have excelled. You have achieved. We want to reward you. It's a whole different connotation, the concept of a star versus the concept of a shield. And in fact, he seems to say that many people really associate the Magen David not as a shield, but more of a mile of a star, a koichov, which has a whole different. You're my shield, but there it's Magen David. We're going to come to that in a moment. You translate the word literally. You can't go away from the facts. You know, like you say, don't confuse me with the facts. But okay. Let me just find my notes where I start from. Okay, we mentioned before the Magen David is not, at least in ancient times, is not unique only to Klal Yisrael, it's found like all the religions. In fact, there are churches today that are standing that have a very large Magen David. There are masks that have a Magen. No. Things that are built l'chatchila as masks. He has pictures. He has these places. Salt Lake City, Utah. In Utah, there's a mosque. No, there's a church, an old church in Salt Lake City, Utah, has proudly displayed on the outside, built into the architecture. A Magen David. Masks that have Magen David. Look at the dollar bill. Okay, the dollar bill, the great seal of the United States has a Magen David. You have a dollar bill? Okay, on the right side of one. I don't have a dollar bill. On the right side of one, only carry hundreds. Just joking. Okay, on the right side of a one, I gave away my last dollar. On the right side of a one, you see there's a, looks like an eagle. And on top of the eagle, there are 13 stars in the shape of a Magen David. The 13 colonies of the original colonies of the United States before we became the United States of America. And that's a Magen David. How did I get there? Well, we all know very well that the founding fathers were very influenced by the Bible, by the Jews. That's a well-known fact. This history of America. History of America is very much intertwined with the Bible, the Old Testament. Christians, you're very familiar with this.
Hebrew was considered as the national language.
And you had
Tomb of Yale. Their motto of Yale University says in
on the bridge.
Or in the tomb. On the Merritt Park.
So there is a lot of history, and look, on the Dalibel, what more do you want? In God we trust. And in God we trust, right, not far from in God we trust, we have the Magen David. We have the Magen David. So we see that the Magen David is not the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? So he says it could very well be the Magen David was a Jewish symbol, and all these religions, Christianity and Islam and Buddhism and the Chinese and Japanese, they hijacked the Magen David from us. That's not so far-fetched. What came first, the chicken or the egg? So there's really no way of knowing. There's no way of knowing, but it's something which is an important thing to take note of, that this symbol we find in ancient times was used by other cultures and other religions. Now, where does the word come from? Now, he goes off on his own. He has it in this sefer a lot of things. I have no makar. He says right out, I have no makar. I'm just saying all my own ideas. And some of the ideas are really very beautiful ideas. I want to tie this in something that we learned last week about the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Why is it called the Magen David? What is this thing, the Magen David? So first of all, we have to realize that the word Magen appears primarily in reference to Avraham Avinu. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu at the Brisbane Absarim, Anochi Magen Lach Secharcha Harbeimo. That's the first time we find the term, the word Magen. I am your shield. Secharcha Harbeimo. And then it goes on to the Eretz Yisrael, the Brisbane Habasar. And that itself is very interesting, because Anochi Magen Lach Secharcha Harbeimo was right before Hashem Avram said, B'mo Eidai Ki Yiroshena. And then came the Bris Ben Habesarim. So there is some degree a relationship between the Magen Avraham and Eretz Yisrael. Now let me just right away go off on a tangent. There are really three shields. I didn't know this until yesterday. There's something called the Magen Avraham. Number two, the Magen David. Number three, the Magen Shlomo. Does anyone know the difference between these three? Well, the Magen Shlomo, what?
Magen Shlomo.
Magen Shlomo. The Magen Avraham is an eight-pointed star. Eight-pointed star. It's basically, take the Magen David and you draw another star around the Magen David. However, here, in fact, on the Leningrad Codex, there's an eight-point star. If you come up later, I'll show you the picture here's the Magen David. And around the Magen David, there's another star, and that star has eight points. That is called the Magen Avraham. Okay, this is documented. There are sources for this. Why is the eight-sided pointed star called the Magen Avraham? Very simple, because eight is associated with Avraham Avinu, Bris Milah. Avraham was the first one to have a Bris Milah. The number 8 is very much affiliated with Avraham Avinu, and therefore we have the shield of Avraham Avinu. That is known as the Magen Avraham. The Magen Shlomo, until recent times, was also a term used to describe what we call the Magen David, the six-pointed star. In the last, I think, 400 years, we find in the writings of Chazal, or maybe 200 years, a break, that the five-pointed star is called the Magen Shlomo. Five-pointed star looks like this. It looks like something out of Star Trek. The five-pointed star. This is the Magen... What?
It's actually the more common symbol in the world.
Five-pointed star. This is called the Magen Shlomo.
Only the Sheris in the south.
The six-pointed star is called the Magen David. Now, possibly the most common explanation why the six-pointed star is called the Magen David is because six refers to Lamal Lamata and all four ruchos of the world. Like when we do Tanufa with the Karbanos, or we shake the Lulav and Eshug, we go in all six directions. David HaMelech felt that he was fully protected when he went out to war, and we'll come to that in a few moments in Shmuel Beis. The first time we find the word Magen is in reference to Avraham. Anochi Magen Lach. The next time we find the word Magen is in reference to Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek said to Baruch Kel Elyon, Asher Migain Tzarecha Biyodecha. And here the word Magen is used in different form. Hashem has delivered. It's not just a word, a noun, a shield. It's a word which has a lot more depth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was active. He didn't just protect you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered. He handed over your enemies to your hand. That's a whole different world. That's a whole different interpretation. It's a whole different twist. Mogen, the way we pronounce, is a shield. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just a shield for us. He takes an active role in bringing things in this world about to our benefit. Now, why is it associated so much with David? So here's where he goes off on his own and he says some very, very fascinating and unique chidushim. He talks about Shira. In fact, he wrote a whole book about song. He wrote a very interesting book. I want to get a hold of it. He has all his books here in the back about song, the power of music, power of song, all different things. And he goes through, there are 10 songs. There's a Medrash to Targum Yonasan ben Uziel in the beginning of Shir HaShirim. What better there places there to describe the idiom of a song? Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. And the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel there lists, there are 10 Shiros in Tanakh. There are 10 Shiros. And the significance, each of the 10, the number 10 represents, is Koilal, all the songs. He goes through all the Shiros in Tanakh. And the eighth of the songs is Shiras David. Eighth, very interesting. Eighth, number eight, with the Malbech HaTeva. Shiras David is a very prominent song in the songs of Tanakh. Shiras David appears two places in Tanakh. One in Sefer Shmuel, in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Beis, and with slight variation in Tehillim, and Tehillim again. And all the Mefarshim ask, what's going on? Why did David HaMelech write Shiras David twice? We learned, by the way, We learned it on Parshas Hazinu, when Parshas Hazinu is not Shabbos Shuva, and we learned it on Shvi Shel Pesach. B'Shalach we learned Shiras Devorah. We once discussed the Codex. The Aleppo Codex has Shiras David in two columns, not like what's common today to have it written like Oz Yoshi. We once had a whole discussion about how one writes Shiras David. But it's very interesting. It's a very interesting concept. You don't have this almost anywhere else in Tanakh, where you have a significant chunk, a whole perek, a song that's repeated kemat, word for word, in two different sections of Tanakh. In Shmuel Beis, David finishes all of his battles, the end of David's life, the very end of Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Beis, Mamish, the very, very end. He summarizes his life with the Shira. David's whole essence is Shira, and he summarizes life. And then again in Tehillim, he rewrites it again as one of the Mizmarim in Tehillim. And what's going on? And there are differences. Magdil, Migdol, a whole, there are a few small differences between the two. But one of the major themes, this he points out, it's an amazing insight of Shiras David, is Hashem is my shield. And David says this three times. Let me just finally give you Pasuk, Perikov Shmuel, Perikov Beis, first Pasuk Gimel. Eloike Tsuri, you are my rock, Echesebo, I take refuge in, Mogini, you are my shield, the Keren Yishi, and the horn of my salvation. At the end, in Pasuk Lamed, again he says, Lamed Aleph, Okel Tamim Darko, Imras Hashem Tzurufa, Mogein Hu, he is a shield, L'chol HaChosimbo. Again, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Vatiten li mogein yeshecha. You've given me the shield of your salvation. Va'anoisucha tarbeni, and your humility has made me great. We have here in Sefer and Shiras David three times. David is emphasizing Hashem, you are my shield. And if you read them very carefully, the Mefarshim, the word mogein is used a little bit differently each time. But one of the major themes, according to the Mechaber of this Sefer, of Shiras David, the essence of Shiras David is, Hashem, you are my shield. And he suggests that is why the Magen is so much associated with David. Now, if we go further, this doesn't say in the book, but if you go further, after what we've learned last week, that there are two parts of Tanakh. There is Nevi'im, and there's Ksuvim, and they're very different. Nevi'im, we gave all these different explanations of what's the purpose of Nevi'im, what's the purpose of Ksuvim, but they're very... The past versus the future, Nevi'im, also, and when you refer to Shmuel, when he wrote Nevi'im, was a personal reflection of his life. When he wrote the Shiras David in Tehillim, that was for Klal Yisrael. I want to suggest is that this idea, again, this is another idea that the Magen David, and he gives many examples, many sources, really two triangles. Rav Kalbach discusses this as well, and this is already cited. Decided that the Magen David, besides the fact that it's six-pointed star, it's also the combination of two triangles. They want to say that this comes from the Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba, they invented at that point in time shields, interlocking shields in the size of triangles. When they came together, they formed what looks like a Magen David. It was a new high-tech type of shield of the day, where two triangles interlock to form what look a special type of shield. Okay, whatever that is. But there definitely is truth to this idea of two triangles. If we take these two ideas together, there's a very powerful message in the Magen David. Magen David is associated with David. David's essence is Shira. The essence of David's Shira is the concept of Hashem is my shield. He is my Magen. Different expressions. Magen is not just a shield. You deliver. You are my source of deliverance. You're my source of inspiration. All the different connotations of what a Magen is, whether it's used in the form of Magen or Migen, Sodecha Biodecha. And David wrote a Shira twice. He wrote a Shira in Shmuel, part of Nevi'im, as a prophet. And then he wrote the Shira again with Ruach HaKodesh for all generations in Tehillim, part of Ksuvim. The Magen David that we look like is the synthesis of David's view of the Magen, of his Shira as a Navi, and David's view, praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shira as a citizen of Klal Yisrael with Ruach HaKodesh. Now what that means exactly is subject to interpretation, which I think all of you are wise enough to come to your own conclusion and develop this idea on your own. But that's a very interesting idea. You have Nevi'im, Ksuvim, all the ideas we expressed last week. There's a relationship between the two, our past, our future, the individual, the tzibur, and many themes. I'm not prepared to go through all different themes, but there are many themes, and these themes interlock. They come together. And when they come together, it captures the essence of our entire history, our destiny, and the essence of Klal Yisrael. The Magen David are two triangles. It's the Shira of David as a Navi, together with the Shira of David of Sefer Tehillim, as representing Klal Yisrael and Iksud HaMashiach and Yemos HaMashiach in Ksuvim, coming together. That's an idea I think comes out from the pages of this Sefer, which at least made an impression on me. Okay, now he goes another idea, which is another Nomokar, but this is really something you cannot ignore. And he has a picture. You look at the picture, it's striking. There are two flowers or fruits that are part of our genetic makeup. The Shoshan. Right? Chalatzelis hasharoin kishoshana ben hachoichin kein rayosi ben habonos. What more could you possibly say? Klal Yisrael in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes is like a Shoshana among the thorns. The Umos Ha'olam are thorns, and we're the flower. Kishoshana ben hachochim kein rayosi, my beloved. Now, what is a Shoshana? So we touch it as a rose. But there's a more precise, I think we even know what it is, at least he claims, it's a six-petal lily. And he basically suggests... No, bein hachoichim. Kishoshana bein hachoichim. And he says, it's even the word, what is Shoshana? The shoresh of Shoshana is shesh, is six. So he wants to suggest, you can't take it for granted, and the whole theme that he has in this Sefer is a beautiful theme. It's a refreshing theme because you don't see a lot of this today. Today, with such, unfortunately, the whole attitude is, what's the mukar? Tell me the mukar. Chazal also tell us, Hanach lahem li Yisrael. Leave them alone. They don't have a makar, it's okay. In Einam Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im. Nothing happens by accident. When you find a Jewish custom, It comes from somewhere. It's not an accident. It's true, we do find, sometimes we find there's fraud and there's shenanigans and there's all these mishigasim that they have no source. But big things don't just happen by accident. If the fact that the Magen David is such a significant, important symbol for Klal Yisrael, it can't just be that there's no makar. And he suggests, since in the big today, the Magen David means you're a Jew. That's what it means. You're part of the state of Israel. You're part of Eretz Yisrael. You're not from the whole world. Kishoshana ben hachoichim kein rayosi ben habanos. It's exactly what a shoshana looks like. A shoshana is a flower of six petals, six leaves. The shorish of the word shoshana is shesh, and it's coming to remind Klal Yisrael in our time. That's what you are. You by me are a shoshana ben hachoichim. You are the rayosi ben habanos. You are my beloved among all of the nations of the world, and you should not forget that. It's one very powerful, his own chiddush, beautiful chiddush. Shoshana shesh. That's the metzias, the six petal lily. That's what it is. And then this is even more shocking. And you look at the picture, it's like, wow. A pomegranate. Look at the picture. I'm going to show you how to see the picture. When the pomegranate begins to blossom, it looks exactly like a Magen David. The Rimon. And a Rimon Chazal is the fruit for Klal Yisrael. A Rimon has Taryag. Chazal tell us there are 613 seeds. Now, I know they've done studies. I read this. They've done studies. All right. You know, they tell you that on average, it's pretty close. Every pomegranate has a different number of seeds. Okay, you'll do studies. You'll take an average. It'll come out pretty close to 613. But Chazal tell us a pomegranate has 613 seeds, and it represents the Taryag Mitzvah. It represents Klal Yisrael. A Rimon, the pomegranate. Why do you think they call that store pomegranate? It must have come from something like a Hargosha, that Klal Yisrael is compared to a Rimon. And when the Rimon begins to blossom, it has six leaves. Look at this picture. This is a real picture of a real pomegranate, and it looks just like a Magen David. So again, he suggests there's no makar, no source for this, that since Klal Yisrael, our observance of mitzvos is nimshal to a Rimon, and a Rimon is a tayag, it became the national symbol for Klal Yisrael, not just a national symbol for food. It became a symbol for Klal Yisrael. Another interesting idea. Okay, another idea, going back to how old does the Magen David go? I always thought the Magen David didn't go back more than 400 years to a cemetery in Italy. They found in Italy a cemetery in Rome, a Jewish cemetery where there were Magen Davids on the tombstones. It's not true. The Magen David goes back a lot longer. The earliest codex, I don't know if it's the earliest, the Aleppo codex, which I think was definitely earlier, but one of the complete records of Tanakh, codex of Tanakh, is called the Leningrad Codex in Russia, in St. Petersburg, and it was written in the year, we know for a fact, in the year 1008, the very beginning of the 11th century, which is 1,000 years, and on the cover of this manuscript is a Magen David. So this is a Magen David. And on the outside, the Magen David is set in the Magen Avraham. That's the cover of the codex. And this is Jewish. I mean, what more Jewish do you want than this? And this is 1,000 years old. So it goes back quite a while. It became popular in the 14th century. It became popular with mysticism, with Razil HaMalach. When the Sefer Razil HaMalach, when the Zohar was discovered, we don't know when the Zohar was written, when the Zohar was discovered and people started going into Kabbalah and started making amulets. So then it was published, a Sefer called Razil HaMalach, which supposedly was written by the time, we don't know when they came from. And there in the 14th century, in the Sefer, he has a copy from the page, many different shapes of the Magen David. Okay, he also says that they claim it's 2,000 years old. It's hard to believe, I have to really know if it's true. But in Modim, in Pekin, this is the cave. There's a tradition that there's a cave in the city of Pekin. Anyone know where that is? It's near.
Also, there's always been a Jew living.
2,000 years of Jewish presence, so they claim. It's always been 2,000 years of Jewish presence, and this is the cave. They have a tradition that this is, they know where the cave where Rashbi spent 13 years in isolation. Okay, do we know? No one can tell you it's true, not true. It's a legend in this place called Pekin. And in Pekin, they have it as a picture. There's a stone. There's on a wall a Magen David. And I don't know how they can know for sure. They claim that this is 2,000 years old. Really, from time of the Beis HaMikdash, 2,000 years old. So they claim. And okay, this is a place of Jewish press for 2,000 years old. There's a Magen David. That would really take the Magen David back quite a while. In the last 300 years, last 200 years, Magen David was used by everything you can possibly imagine in the world of Judaica. Whether it's a Seder plate, whether it's a menorah, whether it's a ksuba. He has a whole long list of items for the last 200-300 years that it became extremely popular. Now, why did it become popular? So there are a lot of debates. In Prague, the king of Prague, this goes back to the 14th century. In the middle of the 14th century, the king of Prague, he demanded that the Jewish people have their own flag. And the flag, it's not clear, did the king of Prague, the secular king of Prague, force this upon the Jews, or the Jews themselves decided they're going to use the pick? They used red cloth with the tzura of a Magen David. They even have it today. They have it today there still as well. This goes back to the 14th century. So already at that point in time, already it was used. It was selected to serve as a symbol for the Jewish people, but it was given to. It seemed, it's not clear if it was really put upon us by a secular authority in Vienna. In the 17th century, the same thing. The Goyim, they forced the Jewish people to have a symbol for themselves, to identify themselves. And again, the Magen David was selected. Now, going into more modern times, okay, we know that, this is very interesting, you ever see a picture of the first Israeli flag. The first Israeli flag was not in 1948. The first Israeli flag really was at the Second Zionist Congress in the year 1898.
Was that Basel?
No, I think before Basel.
Yeah.
I think before, but I was... I'm getting... It was late, wasn't later? 18, that was before. So that may have was the year before. Okay, I'm getting confused. But either 18... Here it says... the Zionist movement's official adoption of the Magen David's primary symbol in 1898, the Second Zionist Congress. And they have it, the first flag. It's a little bit different. It's hard to see. Okay, it's the two very thick stripes, top and the bottom. In the center was a Magen David. In the middle was a lion. And there are seven stars. Six stars inside and one star on top. I'm not exactly sure of the significance, but this was when the state of Israel, this was where it really began, the selection of this symbol to serve as a flag, as a symbol for the Jewish people in modern times. In the year, not 1948, if you go online, what? No, Magen David is much later. It was only used in shuls, introduced into shuls and to religious objects in the last 200 years. It wasn't yet. 200 years. It wasn't. We don't find it. It's hard. We find them tombstones going back in the 14th century, 15th century. We are, like we mentioned, we have 1,000 years ago. I mean, one more. That's a pretty. That's a pretty powerful thing. The Codex, the Leningrad Codex, in the year 1008. That's a pretty interesting idea. Okay, now there's a certain theme. He goes through this idea that the Magen David. The Magen David, unfortunately, became the badge of shame during World War II. The Nazis. The Nazis demanded the Jewish people wear the Magen David. It was worn in different ways, as armbands, badges on the shirt.
It was written with the word Yudah.
Right. It was done. He says it was done different countries. It was done differently. Some places it was a badge. Other top places there was an armband. Different colors. It wasn't always yellow. Different shades of yellow. Did they have the word Jew written in the center? It was done differently in different countries. But it became it became famous, unfortunately, for that reason, that it became known as the badge of shame. And that really is the primary reason why it became part of the flag of the State of Israel. Because we study the history of the State of Israel, a good part of the culture of the founding of the State of Israel was in response to the Holocaust. What they used as the badge of shame, we're going to use our greatest source of pride to display on our flag. And that's a very common theme in a lot of the things which we find in the State of Israel. Okay. A few other... Okay, just another thing to mention, important thing to mention, is that we do say Magen Halacha, we do mention Magen David in the davening. Where? In the Haftarah. And after we say Magen David. In fact, the first was a question of why in the bracha why don't we conclude Baruch Atah Hashem Magen David? Why do we conclude Matzmiach Keren Yeshua? Seemingly, it would be ideal to conclude the bracha Vetzemach David with the same nusach we find in the Haftarah, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen David, Vetzemach David. Instead of Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. So I don't remember who says, but the answer given is because it will be disrespectful for Avraham. Because Avraham already concludes Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, and therefore out of respect for Avraham, we did not conclude the Baruch Magen David. But in the Haftarah, we're not mentioning Avraham, then David gets his due, he gets Baruch Atah Hashem Magen David. Because in fact, David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I also want to be one of the others. Why is only Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? It should also be Elokei David. Hashem said they were tested. You were not tested. David said, so test me. Okay, you want to test? I'll give you Bathsheba. Let's see if you can be Ein Ben Nisayon. And he failed. So David said, you're right. I'm not deserving it should be Magen David. It's only Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And even when he may have the bracha of Etzemach David, we don't want to compare David to Avraham. Memele we say Etzemach David, but we do say Magen David in the bracha of the Haftarah. So that's also something which is very interesting. He concludes here this section by saying something very interesting. He says that there are a lot of things that have been ignored in history, and only very recently have become very popular. Perek Shira. Whoever heard of Perek Shira? Today it's a big business. It's a multi-million dollar business, Perek Shira. What about Lag BaOmer? Whoever heard of Lag BaOmer? It became a big thing today, Lag BaOmer. Because even Purim, he says, Purim over time has developed into become much more significant than it was historically in the previous generations, he claims. Kabbalah Shabbos, to Mekabel Shabbos. This is a very modern minhag. So he says, Magen David is something whose time has come. Just like with Perek Shira, no one's coming to challenge the authenticity and the Kedusha that lies in the Perek Shira, and in Lag BaOmer, and in Tu B'Shvat, and in Kabbalah Shabbos, and in many things which have not been as a priority in Klal Yisrael until modern times. Magen David, he says the same thing. Magen David is dormant. The Kedusha is there. It has a real Kedusha. It has major significance. We haven't really picked up on its significance. But he makes a very strong push to show that we should not take the symbolism of the Magen David lightly. Okay, there's definitely more to discuss. Maybe tomorrow we'll do some more ideas relating to the Magen David. In any event, until then, have a wonderful day.